As Jesus greeted the disciples after he had risen from the dead by saying, "Peace be with you." And so I say to you, peace be with you. It's a pleasure to join you this morning as we join together in worship. A story caught my attention the other day, and it came from NPR's Storytime. It told a story of an individual who happened to be white, married to a woman who happened to be white, and the two of them were keen to have children, but so far, no luck. And what they did do was they adopted a little girl, a little black girl, who became the joy of their lives. And this individual happened to be a psychologist, and psychologists, I know I have, because I have a smattering of psychology in me, look at the world in a certain way and examine how the brain forms pictures. So the psychologist was walking down the street one day, not necessarily in the greatest part of town, and he, a white fellow, encountered a gentleman who happened to be a person of color coming in the opposite direction. Immediately, he crossed to the other side of the street. And just as quickly, he thought to himself, well, why did I do that? Then getting his psychologist's mindset there, he said, well, this is about psychological concepts. Some of you might have taken developmental psychology or early psychology and have heard of Jean Piaget, who talked about schema. So a little baby comes across a furry animal with pointy ears and four legs, and the parents say, doggy! And so in that child's mind, the child, every time that they come across an animal with pointy ears and fur and four legs, goes, doggy! Well, sooner or later, at least in Stephen's household, they will encounter something that's not a doggy, but in fact is a cat. And so the parents say, no, not doggy, that's a kitty, or however it goes. So a concept is something similar, this picture of the world, and is ingrained deep in there, is a working model, almost as deep as an operating system. And so for this individual walking down the street, his concept came into play. And recognizing that the concept was maladaptive, and contemplating what his beloved daughter might feel like if she for one moment had seen her father cross across the street to avoid a black person, realized the concept was flawed. Growing up in England, we had certain concepts about race. And the country of Ethiopia was familiar to me because my father related that he had served in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, during World War II or thereabouts, and in fact had met Haile Selassie. As it turned out, I went to school with his nephew, who's Junior Selassie or something like that. Haile Selassie was the emperor, Junior Selassie was the prince, nice fellow. And so I had one kind of concept of the idea of Ethiopia. But then there came a time when Ethiopia was engulfed in a dreadful famine, and many, many people died. And so the concept changed a bit. It wasn't this place where the kings and princes roamed freely. It was this place where people were starving to death. As many of you know, when I turned 43 some years ago, I started running marathons, not particularly quickly, but I ran a few of them. And in the New York City Marathon, which I've run about three times, or exactly three times, because I did manage to finish, usually in the male category, the fastest runners were invariably Ethiopian. And so my concept of Ethiopians is now these superb athletes who can run a 5 minute or less mile at mile 25 or 26 of the New York City Marathon. I go, ooh, I'd like to be one of those. So the concepts evolve, they shift, they change. Now, when I thought about this passage from the Acts, which we might call the Holy Gospel according to the Holy Spirit, recorded in the book of Acts, we have the Ethiopian in his chariot. And sometimes, you know, the concept of that Ethiopian over the years has been like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the movie Airplane, where June Cleaver says, excuse me, miss, I speak jive. His chariot maybe with a sound pounder and all the rest of it. And it's this little concept all around just the fact that he's an Ethiopian. Well, if you want to play with the fact that he's a eunuch too, all kinds of other concepts might pop up, like singing in a falsetto voice or being particularly large. Well, the truth of the matter was this Ethiopian probably was in a personal security detail attached to the dignitary with whom he is traveling. But here's the interesting thing. He's sort of looking at Holy Scripture. And he's looking at Holy Scripture as one who's not really included in this. But as one does, when one realizes that one's concept doesn't quite fit, or is maladaptive, or plain wrong or offensive, he's looking at the Scripture. When one of the disciples, Philip, is having some difficulties there, said, well, I just need someone to open up this to me. And this is what occurred. And the change was dynamic. Propelled this outsider, albeit quite a well-placed outsider, into a place where he was an insider in the embrace and grasp of God's grace. The saving act of Calvary wasn't done for someone else, it was done for him. And his concept, in a moment, was changed. The small group of people gathered around Christ when he went to the cross was in some ways like a vine that had been pruned to the bare essentials. Just so sort of in a need to know basis. There is a phrase, a word, anagogical reading. And that simply means you read the story having read the end first. And when we read the gospel, when we read scripture, we know how it ends. And there is a dramatic change of concept. The children of Israel expected the Messiah to come, the Messiah to come, and change their lives. And the kind of life change they expected would be an imperial one, the removal of the Roman Empire. And would be kind of a resuscitation of their fortunes. But what they got was a resurrection instead, which changes the idea that death is final and ultimate to death being transitional. A major change of concept that makes people see life completely differently. And so it did for the Ethiopian. Yeah, life was so-so for him. He had a particular stage, had a particular function. That's true. But when the scripture was cracked open to him, he saw that it was a story about him and for him. And that's why we gather in season and out of season around Holy Scripture to change our concepts. Someone the other day was describing themselves as conservative. And that can mean many things. You could call it, say, it has a wide semantic range. But one of the things it does suggest is going back and defending old and obsolescent concepts. The concept of the frozen chosen, the concept of an exclusive church. Back in England, there are very, very old churches, and they have box pews with the name of the benefactor on the side of the pew. And only that family was to sit in that pew. At the back of the church were the cheap seats, if you like, where the domestics would sit if they were allowed to sit. Now, as the interaction with the Commonwealth, so to speak, came about, well, people of color weren't supposed to be in that church at all. And we see how bit by bit we have looked at that through the eyes of God and through the radical inclusivity of the gospel and said that concept is not right. Maybe our best pews, maybe the pews at the front, oh, I'm sorry, it's a Lutheran church, pews at the back are for newcomers, not people who have been there all along. And this is Rick Warren's idea. And maybe when we do all this talk about, you know, welcoming the stranger and so on, we realize that that has to include people who are very different from us. One of the reasons we have this concept of xenophobia or fear of the others is back a long, long time ago, if you were going through a strange place and you met a strange creature, you first better put your guard up. And only when you've determined that this individual poses no threat, if it's a big furry animal, for instance, then you might come and try to bond with it. However, we are told and we are shown through Christ that God loves the unlovely. My wife, Lisa Stevens, and I used to sit at the back of George Forel's class in seminary, in Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley, and hear George Forel saying time after time again that we must learn to accept the fact that we are accepted despite being unacceptable. And as you can see, it doesn't trip easily off the tongue to accept the fact that we are accepted despite being unacceptable. This is radical inclusivity that challenges the concept that keeps would aspire to keep people out of the kingdom. That is not our choice. In dialogue with Moses, God would say, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy upon. You don't get to choose. He didn't necessarily say that, but that was implied. You don't get to choose. But what we do get to do is change our concepts. Well, that's a church. And a church has its place to transform society. As I keep saying, teach the church not to bring people in, but to put itself out. How does it get out into society? We are struggling at this time, of course, about systemic racism. And there are those who say it simply does not exist. While not really wishing to dance on his grave, so to speak, the former police officer, Mr. Chauvin, who knelt for 9 minutes on the neck of an individual who was a person of color and died, showed that he wasn't just going on the concept alone, that an arrestee who was black would be dangerous, and therefore he'd be excited and adrenaline would flow and rather too much force applied. No, he sat atop for 9 minutes with an "I am in control and you are not" expression on his face. There is no doubt about the fact that we are called to change the concept that abuses, neglects, or just by the virtue of their human ontology, treats them as a lesser child of God. And we will hear that further in St. Peter's vision, where he sees the bugs and other creepy crawlies and not so big ticket animals in the winding sheet. And God tells Peter, "Don't you call unclean what I call clean." What are the concepts we're working with today? What is it that we have in our head that impedes us from implementing the second great commandment? The two great commandments are, of course, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it, namely this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's not Lent, it's not Advent, it is Easter. However, even in Easter, we may repent, and indeed should repent, and repent coming from the Greek word metanoia, to think differently. And to think differently means changing our concepts and how we look at the world. And if we are truly blessed, we may see the world with the love and fierce passion of the Creator of all the world, who so loved the world that he sent his Son, so that all who believe in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That same Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.